Brian, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and Vantage Capital?
Sure. Vantage Capital is a $150 million venture capital fund. The areas that I look at and invest in are data center technologies and operational technologies, such as security, storage systems, operational tools, and then also anything that sort of facilitates cloud migration, as we're seeing a lot of enterprises move into private and also public and hybrid clouds.
Fantastic. And I know you've done recently some analysis around what drives shareholder value and company valuations in the cloud. Could you share some of your findings with us?
Sure. You know, in venture capital, and I think just in general, there's a lot of different ways to value private companies. And it's a question that we get asked quite a lot and that we have to look at when we are a fiduciary responsibility for our shareholders, are if we're looking to make an investment, how do we know what the value of a private company is, as opposed to, let's say, a public company which has a liquid stock? So what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to find some comparables and analogies to see, sort of in the whole technology area, could I find some variables to explain what drives company valuations? And basically what I did, and this is pretty standard CFA methodology financial analysis, is I took a look at the broad range of, we'll say, an asset class, which is high growth, high technology companies. And that's a company that I thought would be publicly traded, over $100 million market cap on a major exchange in either Europe, US, Canada, Israel, Australia, New Zealand. So same sort of socioeconomic backgrounds, same sort of political risk factors. I wanted to find the universe of those companies. And there are about 200 companies that I found on those public exchanges that had over 20% growth and listed themselves as a primary industry driver as information technology. So some of them might be product companies and some of them might be service companies. And, you know, going into this, I had a feeling that revenue would be the primary driver of valuation because these are high growth technology companies. What was interesting is just, it really is the dominant factor for driving public market valuations for technology companies. If you look at market cap, there's no correlation or significant statistical significance to it. Same with profitability. There's no statistical significance or profitability to high-tech companies. The only two that really have any impact on valuation is revenue growth and the revenue that goes with it. So how large that revenue is obviously drives the valuation, but more importantly, how fast that revenue is growing year over year. And then gross margin, which is a proxy for profit. So if you're going to take a look at, let's say, a services company where it has a lot of people involved in it delivering a service, it would obviously have a lower gross margin than a product company. The product company is going to have a higher valuation in general than a services company. And there was really no other statistically significance between valuation. And those two variables alone, gross margin and revenue growth, really explained about over 70% of the variability in valuation among those 200 different companies. So now we could create an equation that says, okay, this is how you should be valuing and take those same variables to a private company. And then obviously factor them down because they're in a liquid stock and they're smaller in their earlier stage. But you get into being more rigor around how you actually value private companies by using the public market comparables.
Interesting. So you'd say then that revenue growth and margin levels are important to any size company in terms of what drives shareholder value?
Oh, absolutely. You know, those would be the two things to focus on as an early stage company or as a later stage high growth company too, is driving revenue and improving your gross margin.
And would you say, well, what guidance might you have for owners of smaller technology businesses who want to exit at some point with good valuations? What targets in terms of levels, say, for revenue growth or for margins, do you think they should shoot for?
Well, it's tough because every company is going to get, you know, I think you're sort of asking like what the multiple is.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing $10 million in revenue, should I be looking for a $100 million exit or should I be looking for a $10 million exit? It depends on how fast your revenue is growing. So generally, you know, here's some guidance, is that if your revenue is flatlining and you're at $10 million year after year after year, you'll probably get, if your cash flow break even, maybe losing a little bit of money, you'll probably get between 1 to 2 times revenue. That's generally what the acquisition is.
Yeah.
If you're looking at about over 20% annual year-over-year growth, then maybe you'll be looking at a range of 3 to 4 times revenue. If you're looking at 50% year-over-year growth, you're getting into some very good multiples now, maybe 5, 6. If you're going over 100%, I've seen private companies get sold for as much as 10 times revenue. But that's a very aggressive target to be able to growing 100% year-over-year growth.
You're very aggressive indeed, even though, you know, the cloud demand is growing at anywhere from 20 to 50%, depending on the part of the world that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say in terms of gross margin levels is a level that an owner might think to shoot for in order to get good valuations?
I would say anything above 60%. But, you know, I think in a company, if it has lower than 60% gross margin, it's going to probably run into trouble once you start looking at the your cost of sales in terms of your sales force, your marketing, your overhead, things like that. Eventually, a company has to become profitable. So a company has to have at least over 50 or 60% gross margin to be able to, in the future, be profitable. And the most successful companies and the most profitable ones are the ones that are in the 90s, that are just purely product companies.
Purely product companies. So the possession and the development of intellectual property is pretty key to getting those kinds of margins and therefore those kinds of valuations.
Yeah, and I think that in a way, intellectual property and revenue growth go hand in hand. So, you know, as an example, I think that we've seen with the hypervisor, and we've seen, you know, VMware sort of invented this as an intellectual property 10, 12 years ago. And now 10, 12 years later in the cloud, we see lots of different players having hypervisors. Microsoft has one. Amazon delivers a flavor of it for its cloud users. You have OpenView. It's become very, very commoditized. And you're seeing that from the hypervisor alone, revenue growth is slowing down for all these companies because the intellectual property around just the hypervisor is not as valuable as it is. So they have to come up with new intellectual property, new innovations to the market to be able to continually drive revenue growth. So I think that intellectual property and revenue growth go hand in hand. If you have something that's new and novel and in demand, that's what's going to drive your revenue growth. Intellectual property, if it's not sellable, it's not really worth anything.
And intellectual property would be important even for smaller sized businesses who wouldn't be of the size of, mm-hmm. of the companies that you mentioned. It would be equally important for them.
Yeah, it depends. You know, intellectual property is a broad concept. Now, you can be delivering a service in a very novel way and have intellectual property, let's say, over your own business processes,
yep.
in terms of how you deliver your goods, how you deliver that. Yep. We even say good restaurants. You know, there's intellectual property, let's say, in the recipes and yep. things like that, but it's not a patent that's been filed. But there's definitely some good thought and some business processes in there. So for small business owners, perhaps not going down the patent route, but focusing on, you know, is your product valuable? Is it have a good gross margin? Is it something that people want to buy? You know, when we're looking at companies, we look at for what I would call, you know, product CEOs that are developing and have a good mindset for very good products that have good market fit.
Right. And so products are really becoming far more important than services in terms of driving shareholder value. And
yes, of course.
Valuations. Out of curiosity, Brian, do you have any sense for like a window of opportunity here? For, I mean, the cloud is a phenomenon now. It's growing mm-hmm. very rapidly. Do you have any sense of a window of opportunity that might be present for owners wanting to take advantage of that and to build shareholder value with an eye to exiting in, you know, say 3 to 5 or 7 years?
Well, we're in a technology boom right now. So it's sort of the end of 2014, we're going into 2015 shortly, and the markets have been very, very favorable for technology for the past couple of years. I don't know how long this is going to last, if there's going to be a correction. We've seen a lot of expansion in multiples, but not necessarily the underlying earnings, not necessarily the underlying revenue. So an expansion just in multiples alone is not a great thing. You know, you need to actually have top and bottom line results. So, you know, exit when markets are good. That's when companies are looking to grow, when people get higher valuations, as opposed to, let's say, in 2009 or after the last dot-com bust, which was in 2001, where valuations were horrible and no one was making an acquisition.
So, Brian, what final observations or counsel might you have for the owner of a small to medium-sized technology business today, looking to exit, looking to retire at some point, perhaps not in the distant future?
You know, focus on the revenue. Revenue is obviously driven by product, so having a really, really good product. You know, and from a VC's perspective, what we invest in are teams. So, you know, is the CEO good? The people underneath them, are they good? You know, that you could have a very, very good idea, but if a team is not able to execute, that will always be a challenge. And I think that also goes for acquisitions too. So in any acquisition, you know, maybe the CEO is coming along with it, maybe they're not, but certainly a lot of them, a good portion of the teams underneath them are, that are going to be driving the product and services, and they need to be world-class if they're going to be getting a world-class valuation. So attraction for top talent that's going to help drive revenue and product is in sales is obviously very important.
Great advice, Brian. Thanks very much for your time.
Okay, thank you, Dana.